Very nice to see you all tonight. I haven't seen some of y'all for a year. Kind of a struggle this summer, but God's got us through it. The topic of this year's preaching festival, as Brother Tim said, is the truth of the gospel. And I chose that topic for my speaking tonight. And I'd like to begin this weekend by laying down a foundation. The foundation of the truth of the gospel is founded in what God has purposed through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the truths that I am going to lay out today will be expounded upon throughout this weekend. I want to make this very clear, though. When I speak of the things of the gospel, I am speaking of the realities and the foundations of which it has been established. Those things which have been established in Christ Jesus and what He accomplished in our stead. The truth of the gospel boils down to this, that we are accepted in the Beloved. Because of what Christ has accomplished. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done. Not of our works, lest we should boast. We're not glorying in ourselves, are we? No, we're glorying in the cross of Christ. We're glorying in the things that God has done through Christ that has given us. It is only by God's right arm that salvation has been wrought. The main texts that we can read of the truth of the gospel are these. It's first one's in Galatians 2:4. It says, "And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us unto bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." This is the false gospels out there are damning. They are a cancer. They grow within. So we cannot give even a space of an hour to listen to these false doctrines, these false prophets. Amen. It says that our liberty comes from Christ and Christ alone. Amen. It doesn't come from the law. It doesn't come from what denomination we're in or what clime or the boundaries or who we are born into. Our liberty, the things that we have, are in Christ Jesus alone. Amen. And it is open for all of mankind. Jesus said that God's going to draw all men unto me. That's all men. And Galatians 2:13. I had a Colossians passage that's in my head. Galatians 2:13. "And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? We, who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Amen. Most of the book of Galatians speak of this. We know the book. They were compelling them to be circumcised. They was going back to the law. And Paul comes in and he says, "Who has bewitched you?" A bewitching. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians a letter that was making it very, very clear that they had been bewitched by another gospel. The Galatians were going back to the token of circumcision and the law for their acceptance. The truth of the gospel plainly speaks of the circumcision made without hands, the circumcision of the heart and not of the flesh. Paul brings out this liberty that we have in the Spirit and not in the law. If we live by the law, what's going to happen? We're going to die by the law, aren't we?
That's right.
Because, again, no flesh can be justified in the law.
Amen.
Nor indeed does it want to be. The flesh and the spirit are what? They're enemies. They're contrary to one another.
Amen.
Going through the book of Galatians, Paul speaks of Christ giving himself for us that we might be delivered. Verse 1-4. That he received this wisdom by the revelation of Christ and not men. Verse 1-12, chapter 1, verse 12. That the keeping of the law destroys faith. Chapter 1, verse 23. That we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ and not by the works of the law. Chapter 2, verse 16. That through the law we are dead to the law, that we might live unto God.
Amen.
Chapter 2, verse 18 through 20. That the blessings of Abraham come to the Gentiles through Christ so that we can receive the promises. Chapter 3, verse 14. The law cannot disannul the promise of God. Chapter 3, verse 17. Mm-hmm. That going back to the law is turning again unto bondage.
Amen.
Chapter 4, verse 9. That bondage is of the flesh, but freedom is of the promise. Chapter 4, verse 23. That the bound cannot live among the free. Chapter 4. Verse 30 and 31. If you live after the law, Christ has no effect to you, and you have fallen from grace. Chapter 5, verse 4 through 6. That if you walk after the Spirit, then you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Chapter 5, 16 through 18. That our inheritance is not of the law, but it is of promise. Chapter 3, verse 18. An inheritance is not earned, is it? An inheritance is not earned. It is given by promise. We see that in the Word of God, and we see that now. I cannot earn my inheritance. It's given to me by my father, my mother, whatever it is. The same thing here. It is given by God. That the law is not against the promises of God. Chapter 3, verse 31. The law was given because of transgression, and as a schoolmaster, it was not given as means of eternal life or receiving the promises. Plain and simple. The law was not given for that. We can read of that. That the glory that we glory in is in the cross of Christ.
Amen.
Chapter 6, verse 14. It is through the accomplishments of Christ that we glory in, and not the accomplishments of the flesh.
Amen.
The accomplishments of the flesh are going to deter. They're going to fade away, aren't they? But the things that we glory in Christ, they're being stored up in the heavenly realm. This is where we find our acceptance. It's in God, in Christ, and Christ alone. The truth of the gospel was established before the law was even instituted, wasn't it? It was preached unto Abraham, in that through thy seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed. That's a promise that God gave Abraham. And God told him, look up into the sky, count the stars. Look at the sea, the sand of the sea. Your seed is going to be more than that. But we know that this promise never came through an earthly lineage. It came through Christ. Because Paul expounds on that, that in thy seed was Christ, the singular.
Amen.
It wasn't through Isaac. It wasn't through Jacob. Or any. The promise came through Christ. Even before that, God told Eve that through her seed, the head of the serpent was going to be bruised. The law could not bruise the serpent's head. It was only through the purposes of Christ that we can truly be freed from the serpent and his ways.
Amen.
The law wasn't given to destroy Satan. But Christ was. Christ came and destroyed he who had the power of death. The law just showed us that our sins were exceedingly sinful. The law was given because of our transgressions. But Christ was given for our eternal redemption, for our life, for our acceptance to the Father. The law was given because of our transgressions, and that sin would become exceedingly sinful. Abraham believed in God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And Abraham rejoiced to see the day of Christ, and he saw it, and he was glad. He saw the day of salvation in Christ.
Amen.
Isaac asked him, Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? Where's the sacrifice? And what did Abraham say? God will supply a lamb.
Amen.
God will supply a lamb. It wasn't going to be through the law. It wasn't going to be through man's arm or his ways. It was going to be God was going to provide salvation.
Amen.
And Abraham knew. Abraham believed in God that God raise up Isaac even if he killed him, even if he sacrificed him, because the promises of God are true.
Amen.
What God says through the gospel is true. It was because of Abraham's faith in the promise of God that made him glad to see it. Abraham told it, I just talked about that. This all was not according to the law, but by faith. And Abraham, it was imputed under Abraham for righteousness. We can read that even before the foundation of the world was laid, that the truth of the gospel was witnessed in a lamb that had been slain. You can read that in a couple places in the book of Revelation. The lamb had been slain. This was God's purpose from clear the beginning. We can read throughout the Exodus account that the gospel was preached. The promises of God were sure. But they that fell in the wilderness fell because it did not profit them, because it was not mixed with faith. It was good enough. The promises of God was there. We have a witness. We have two witnesses. We have Joshua and Caleb. If the law was enough, that whole first generation would have made it. They had to believe. They didn't believe. They went and spied out the land. Oh, their walls are huge. They're huge people. We can't beat them. But Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, "We are well able." Why? Because God promised it. The gospel was preached unto them. We know that the gospel was preached and the faith was established because two, Joshua and Caleb, reached the promised land. What more could have been done for God's vineyard? He provided all that was needed for their deliverance. He brought that second generation through the wilderness. He brought Joshua and Caleb. And what kind of health was Caleb when he reached the other side? He was just as strong as when he left.
Yeah, amen.
Their clothes, they did not wear out. Their feet did not swell. This was not according to the law. This was not according to earthly human abilities. This was because God promised it. The gospel was preached. The gospel is what? It's the good news. It's the good news of what God has done for us. It was because of unbelief that they fell. Their hearts went back to the bondage from which they were delivered. And remember what Paul told the Galatians? He talked about them going back into bondage to the law. Their hearts went back to that bondage. It was Joshua and Caleb's belief in God which provided their deliverance. It was because they believed what God had said. Are we any different? God has given us this wilderness to trek through, hasn't He? God has given us the same promises that we're going to reach that land flowing with milk and honey. We're going to reach the promised land one day. He's promised it. Yeah, he never promised the Israelites that it was going to be a nice paved road, did he? No. No, we do not have a paved road here either because we are in the wilderness. This world is contrary to us. We're going to have tribulations. Christ said it. We're going to have tribulations. We're going to have persecutions. But be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. That's how we overcome the world. It is by our faith. Not by the law. By our faith. Joshua and Caleb, they were sealed. They were sealed by God because they reached that land. Because of their faith. Ephesians 1:13 tells us, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory." We are sealed up for that day.
Amen.
We are sealed. As long as our belief stays on Christ, stays on God, as long as our faith stays strong, then there is nothing in this world that's going to kill us.
Amen.
It's not going to take us away. Jesus, no one can snatch you out of my Father's hand.
Amen.
That's a seal. That's a confidence that the law can never do. Remember, the law is based on what you do, not what God has done. The gospel is a surety of the possessions promised, and the law accounts what man has done. Caleb clearly proclaimed that they were well able to possess that which God had promised. Caleb laid hold of and he embraced the promises of God. You cannot do this through the law. It was only by God's grace that enables us to endure. The purposes in Christ is where we can embrace the things that He has promised. Our faith takes us to this reality. And this is a reality. We all know it. This is a reality that we can embrace and lay hold of the things that God has given us through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That we are able to go, what? Boldly to the throne of God in full assurance of the law? No, of faith.
Amen.
It's faith. It is the gospel of Christ which is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes, first to the Jew and then to the Greek. The law, it is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good, but it is weak through the flesh and cannot attain acceptance to God, nor can it provide salvation. It was never given for that. It only delivers wrath because no flesh can be justified by the law. The truth of the gospel has revealed that the law has not been abolished, but that the righteousness of the law has been fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So now we have become dead to the law, and we have been married to another.
Amen.
Doesn't that sound like good news?
Amen.
Doesn't that sound like the truth of the gospel? It's the truth of the gospel. It's the reality of what the gospel is.
Amen.
That we have been married to another. We've been married to Christ. We're just waiting for our bridegroom. We have our wicks trimmed. We have our lamps full. We're just waiting for the bridegroom to come through that door. The truth of the gospel has revealed that the law has... We talked about that. So now we have become dead to the law. The gospel reveals that now we have acceptance and are able to approach the throne room of God. At Mount Sinai, God told Moses to tell the people to stand afar off. They weren't even able to approach. And in fact, if you read it, they didn't want to approach. It was thundering. There was smoke. There was fire. Speak to us, Moses. Because we can't listen. We can't hear what God. That's not grace. That's the law. Because we know in our hearts we are guilty. But the sacrifice of Christ has cleansed us so much that it has even purged our conscience. And now we're able to go boldly to Mount Zion, to an innumerable witness of angels. But now through faith in Him, we are come to Mount Zion and we go to the throne with full assurance of faith. It is through the provisions of God through Christ that we come to the throne. No earthly sacrifice, no temple or mount, no earthly priest, nor even by the blood of bulls or of goats can we get favor with God. Jesus is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. And no man comes to the Father but through Him. The spot gospel also speaks of the fullness of time that has come. The things that were accomplished. That's what it's speaking of, isn't it? That's the essence of what the gospel is. It is speaking of the things that were accomplished in Christ at the proper time. In God's predetermined time, Christ came. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. A servant is in bondage, isn't he? In whatever sense you want to call a servant, he's in bondage to something. But we are sons and daughters. We are made joint heirs of Christ. God has raised us up and has released us from this bondage. Through the law, we are all servants to the law. But now that we are in Christ, we have become sons and daughters, whereby we do confidently cry out, Abba, Father. We have been made to inherit all things through Christ, and we are joint heirs with Him. In fact, we are made kings and priests. We are made kings and priests to rule over our bodies, and to minister to one another, to minister to God. Kings and priests, that's what they do. And we've been made that. It's kind of exciting. The gospel reveals that man nor the law can disannul what God has promised. No matter what the world is stating, the people rejoicing over, nor man's wisdom can trump what the Word of God has revealed. His promises are still sure, but also what people forget are His judgments. There's a judgment coming. There is. There's going to be a throne one day, and there's going to be a judge, and everything is going to be laid open and manifest. Everything. There's going to be no defense for man at that day other than Christ and Christ alone. The world may claim that God is love, which He is, but He also has wrath against those who oppose His truth. Remember, those that fell, they fell because of unbelief. And we can see through the Scriptures many, many times, even after Christ's death, that men fell? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. God is true and every man is a liar. Man cannot trump over what God has promised. He is God and man is man. He is the potter and we are the clay. We have no strength in going up and saying, "Why have you made me thus? Why have you made me thus?" is not going to be a defense in the day of Christ's return. God will not turn his back on what Christ has accomplished on his cross. His blood was too precious to turn from it. 400 false prophets of King Ahab did not change the tenor of what God had told Micaiah what was going to happen to Ahab at Ramoth Gilead. Nor did the words, "Thou shalt not surely die," clear Adam and Eve of their transgression. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. What God has said will not turn. Amen. God has no shadow of turning. He is only holy and light. What He has said is true. And we can see all through the Scriptures that He was true 100% of the time. The gospel has been established in the life, the death, the blood, the burial, the resurrection, and intercession of Christ and Christ alone. It has not been established on the things of this earth. 2 Corinthians 5:18 tells us, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him."
Amen.
People, we cannot grasp the sin that was placed on Christ. We cannot grasp that as people, as humans in the flesh. We're going to see that one day, but not now. But we see too much that people are trotting over the blood of Christ. We see too much anymore of another gospel being preached. Christ went through too much for that just to be pushed off into the corner. It has been established in what God has purposed through and in Christ. And not only in Christ, but it was for Christ also, wasn't it? We have been made His bride. And God has given Him the heathen. So we see that it's not in Him, it's for Him also. The truth of the gospel has shown us that it is not our will, but Thy will be done.
Amen.
Thy will be done, O Lord. God's desires become our desires, and His wants become our wants. No more written commandments on stone, but on our hearts with the Spirit of the living God. He has given us His heart and the mind of Christ. Brethren, those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh and the lusts thereof. We are dead to sin and we are alive to God. This is truly the essence of the gospel. That we are dead to the things of this world and that we are alive in God. And by the will of the Father, Jesus tasted death for all men. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The good news of the gospel reveals to us that Christ has defeated he who had the power of death. We have been translated to the glory of Christ to the Father. We have been released from the law of sin and death and had made us, and we have been made alive unto God. And in closing, let us remember that no flesh shall be justified in the law. The law was given to reveal that man could not attain it, and it draws man to Christ. That it is only in Christ that we can do all things. The good news declares plainly that God has wrought redemption, salvation, justification, sanctification, acceptance, and eternal life through the Son. The truth of the gospel is on this wise, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And let me leave us with one last verse. 1 Corinthians 15:10. It says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." That's the essence of the gospel. It's the grace of God. Is there any further comments or questions or corrections?
Appreciated your summary of the book of Galatians. That was very good. I appreciated your alluding to the specific verses and the points that you're making. I appreciate that very much. I thought about the Lord is in His wisdom, of course. He foreknew that there would be a church of Galatia. He knew that there were going to be that kind of a situation where a reversion back to the law. And so that had to be dealt with. And then in the book of Hebrews, there was another situation similar to that where people were just not going out of perfection. But we need these affirmations. We actually, these articulations of dealing with these situations, these are very much up to date. And as you've been bringing them out, we very much need to have these things reaffirmed to us just as they were to the Galatians and to the Hebrews. And I thought about how that in Hebrews 4, I think it is, he said, "For if Jesus had given them rest, Joshua, then would he not have afterward spoken of another day?" Mm-hmm. And we thank God that He's speaking of another day. It didn't end with Canaan. He's speaking of this. He said one saying in David, after so long a time, he said, "Today you will hear His voice. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me. Saw my works 40 years." But he said, but today, he's brought that up to date. Mm-hmm. He's up here. If you're looking for this promised rest, he's talking to you. If you can hear God's voice, he's talking to you. He's saying today to you. So good words, Brother Mike. Thank you.
It's just we see the temptation and the lust of the flesh. Of wanting to go back and see what I have done. It's the flesh. And God knew that, as we brought up. And He knew, like Brother Al said, He knew that the Church of Galatia was going to do this. He knew that people nowadays are going to do this. So He has given us examples. I have given you as an example the whole Exodus account. But He also has given us the example of Christ and those who have followed Christ.
God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Appreciate that very much. And it stood out to me tonight as you were talking about the people were crying out, "Don't let God speak to us. You speak to us, Moses, but don't let God speak to us." Well, the gospel brings us right in.
Mm-hmm.
The veil is rent. It brings us right in. And we're saying, "Yes, speak, Lord."
Yes. Amen.
God spoke from heaven. "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him." And again, in the book of Hebrews 2, it talks, God, the book of Hebrews says, Jesus, God is speaking to us through Jesus. Mm-hmm. So we're able to listen. We're able to hear the things of Christ, not through the Ten Commandments, not through the law, not through any high priest. Remember, even the high priests had to go in and cleanse themselves before they went in and met with God. Only once a year, and only one guy. He wasn't even clean enough. But because the preciousness of the blood, we're able to come. The curtain has been rent from the top to the bottom, and now we have access to God. Brother Mike.
It's a good message. This is always grown that as long as humanity remains on the earth, we will naturally gravitate to law. Because when we see there's something good that requires merit, then we, by nature, we think we have to merit. And then after the law comes in, there's something I can do. And if I can merit it, if I can earn it, then I deserve it. Mm-hmm. And if I deserve it, then I'm entitled to it. But when you see Christ, you've got to throw all that away.
Yes, amen.
Yes, amen.
Funny that you said that, because just here a month or two ago, I had this thought that man sees himself as deserving something. No man in the whole world of time deserves anything but death. Christ is the only man that deserved something. Christ is the only man that deserved the favor of God or anything. Because it is God who gives us. We have not made anything in ourselves. Paul talks about that to the Corinthians. Anyway.
Salvation is a singular seed. Mm-hmm. By faith through grace and by grace through faith.
Yes.
Amen.
Brother Aaron.
You made a strong point of what the law could not do. That's what Romans 8:3 says. For what the law cannot do, which is take away sin and justify the sinner. But there's something the law can do. It's a schoolmaster.
Mm-hmm.
And it essentially has two lessons. Lesson one is we're sinners. Lesson two is Jesus is the Savior. And it teaches by what it requires. You know, we've all learned this lesson to some extent, is that we're sinners and we can't do what it requires of us to do. Mm-hmm. And that's like the bottom side of the coin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the lesson in which we're prepared for Christ. And the schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ is like one lesson just from two sides, is that we are sinners, Christ is a Savior. Because the message of Christ as a Savior has no relevance at all until we know we're sinners.
Right.
And when you know you're a sinner, then you know you need, you're ready to hear that there's a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you didn't do this, but there's a common approach is, oh, praise God, we don't have to do what the law says. No, yes, we do. It's the law of God. The righteousness of the law, that Romans 8:3 goes on to say that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. And the glory of that is that that's done in Christ.
Yes. Yeah, there's still a law. The law is still in effect. It truly is. But now, it's written on our hearts. It's written on our hearts. And we want to cry out, here am I, send me. And we want to plainly declare, thy will be done. It's went from tables of stone to the tablets of your heart.
It's humbling to the heart and to the mind when we think about Christ being wanting to be a willing servant to God so that we could be children of God.
Mm-hmm. He first loved us. We were enemies at that point. We were yelling, crucify, crucify. Very humbling. Brother Mike, Selcha.
You brought to mind many things from the Exodus.
things that were written for our learning. These three are things written for our learning. You brought out on how the similarities to the ones who are living by faith are living in a, are passing through a wilderness where there's no sustenance.
Amen.
And think about this too. Think of the company they were in. Joshua and Caleb, two,
mm-hmm.
surrounded in the midst of a company of unbelievers,
yeah.
and yet God was faithful to bring them through even that.
Mm-hmm.
See, that brings confidence too, that when you find yourself in the midst of some of these kind of situations in life, God's able to still do these kind of very things that you do back there in the book of Exodus.
Yeah.
Amen.
In this matter of being in the wilderness, there's a sense in which we are in the wilderness, and there's a sense in which, in the first fruit sense, we've entered into Canaan.
Mm-hmm.
In the first fruits, not in the substance, but in Hebrews chapter 4, remember, he said, harking back to, it says in Genesis 2, right at the beginning, he said that God ceased from his works, remember, on the seventh day, right? And in Hebrews 4, remember, he's talking about the believer now. He said that he that believeth hath entered into his rest, into God's rest. Now, he that hath entered into rest, he hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Now, see, now, as we enter into this rest, now, this we're talking about substance here. We're not, this is something that, you know, it's not just our doctrine, or it's not just a viewpoint. See, we're actually talking about entering into the rest substantively by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? The evidence of things not seen. So, he that hath entered into his rest, talking about the believer in Christ, he has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Now, as we enter into this rest that God has provided in Christ, see, it's only then, as we've entered in, that you cease from your own works. You'll cease from trying to earn it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You see, if you don't enter into that rest, people that don't enter into the rest substantively, they're going to continue to try to work it out themselves, no matter what they say. That's you gravitate to one or the other. See, both have a gravitational pull. See, this one has an upward pull,
yep.
the other one has a downward pull. See, but see, this there is this rest. There remaineth yet a fullness of rest for the people of God, right? But we have entered into rest. We
mm-hmm.
have in a first fruit sense, we have entered into rest, which was typified by the land of Canaan. See, so we've actually entered into the first fruits now. So we've tasted of the powers of the world to come, of the good word of God. See, we're tasting of it right now. See, so this is the sense in which we're entering into this rest. We sense and know and believe that God has done it and he's completed this work in our behalf. And sometimes our faith is stronger than others, but that's quite frankly, that's just the way it is. That's what God has done. So.
And we have now we have, just as they did, they tasted of the first fruit tastes of Cana. Threw them grapes and the pomegranates, remember that? Imagine how sweet that tasted. Imagine the desire of those who had faith. We can possess this. God has given us the first fruit tastes of the heavenly realm. And this just urges us on. Because it's going to be even sweeter than what we have now. Well, I thank you all for your attention. Brother Mark is next.